As I was thinking about today's message, I was reminded of something, and I've told this story before, but there are many, many new people in this church, so I'm going to tell it again. And those of you that have heard it before, it will still be as funny, I'm sure. I have a 47-year-old brother who has Down syndrome. And he lived with Dean and the girls and I for about 10 years. He was very much part of our family. And one day, I was doing the kitchen dishes. The girls were young, and I took my wedding ring off, and I placed it beside the kitchen sink. And I went about the rest of my day sort of forgetting that I had taken my wedding ring off. But as I went to go to bed, I'm like, where's my wedding ring? Now, women, have any of you ever lost your wedding ring? It's a feeling of panic because I know how much love and money my husband put into that. And it was a sign. It was to be a symbol that was never to be taken off. And I so foolishly took it off and put it by the sink. And I went to bed that night just fraught with worry, like, where is my wedding ring? I woke in the morning and I asked my young daughters, did you see mommy's ring? No, we didn't see mommy's ring. And I was so afraid to tell Dean that I had no idea where my ring was. Peter went off to work. He came home, stomping into the house. I said, Petey, have you seen my ring? No, I haven't seen your ring. I said, are you sure you didn't see my wedding ring? No, I didn't see your ring. So I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Where could my ring be? And I searched everywhere. When you lose something of value, you search everywhere, and the anxiety begins to rise within you. Well, it wasn't until the next day, when Peter returned from work at SASC Abilities Council, he came in and he said, guess what? I'm like, what? I got engaged. I'm like, you did what? He's like, I got engaged. And I said, well, did you give her a ring? And he's like, yep. It's yours. And I'm like, oh my goodness. My precious wedding ring is now on the finger of some girl at SASC Abilities Council. And I've got a predicament. So, next day, I bravely and boldly head into SASC Abilities Council, and I'll call her Karen, if that's not her real name. I'm like, is Karen here? Peter and I need to talk to her. And Karen sat down, spouting my ring on her finger. And I'm like, Karen, that's my ring. No, Peter gave it to me. Nope. No, that's my ring, Karen, and I want it back. And so Karen eventually, I was pretty determined. She gave it back. And I told Peter, if you want to give her a ring, I'll buy you Cracker Jack or something. And you can give her a ring, but that's my ring. Even to this day, and we're well into 20 years into this story, it still causes something to rise within me. A little bit of anger at my brother for taking my ring. A little bit of anger at myself for being foolish about it. But the search for that ring is very, very real. I went over and had coffee one day with Linda Wells, and I lost my ring too. And I'm like, did she take my ring? No, I blamed it on the winter weather and my fingers sort of, you know, skimming in the cold. And I thought I must have lost it. But that search for something valuable is what really reminded me of today's scripture. As we continue on with the Master's Manifesto, I am going to reference Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Peter, do you have my ring? Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This portion of scripture reminds me that God is a generous God who wants to give good gifts to his children who talk to him. And in this portion of scripture, it's broken down in three ways that we are to communicate. We are to ask, we are to seek, and we are to knock. It also reminds me, how many of you have ever lost a child in a crowded space? I hear rumors. Are there Picards in the house? I hear rumors of a child being left at a gas station or something as the car continued down the road. There are a lot of Picards. But I remember myself. And it can happen even in church. It can happen at a parade. It can happen in a park. But I was in Walmart. And me being of 5 foot stature, I cannot see over the clothing racks. And I was with my girls. They were young. And one of them kept sort of diving in and out of the clothing. And I lost sight of her. And I'll call her Elizabeth just because. I'm there, and all of a sudden I realize Elizabeth is no longer in my purview. I'm like, where is she? So what do? You start looking around. Hey, have you seen the little girl? She's about this high. You ask, have you seen her? No, I haven't seen her. Then you begin to seek. You start going a little bit more frantically through the clothing racks, looking, right? I'm trying to get a higher vantage point to see. To elevate myself so I can see if I can find her. And then I begin to knock, so to speak. I don't care anymore. I can't find my girl. And so I'm no longer having success just asking people or trying to look through the clothing racks. And I don't care if they think I'm a crazy woman. I'm like, Elizabeth! Elizabeth! Just running through the store, yelling her name, hoping to find her. And I think that's sort of the way it breaks down in this scripture, that we ask, we seek, and then we elevate it to the absolute knocking. In Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11, in my opinion, it's been somewhat abused and distorted in many ways. Most of the time, people concentrate on the second part of that scripture and they make it into a blab it and grab it, name it and claim it type of sort of prosperity thing. I will name and I'll claim I'm getting a new car in Jesus' name. I'm getting a new job in Jesus' name. My debt's going to be gone tomorrow in Jesus' name. And I'm not saying there isn't validity in that. But there also has been some distortion in that, because we'll name and claim, we'll blab and grab without necessarily putting the work in. That God's saying, without a corresponding work attached, many times it deadens that. And so I think that when I look at this portion of scripture, I don't see it so much as this, I asked for this, you give me this, I asked for this, you give me this. That's the deal, God. It's about relationship. It's about relationship. You see, in many ways, this portion of scripture lays out the gospel message that we hear so clearly in John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believeth in him should not perish, and have everlasting life. And if you haven't heard that portion of scripture before, listen. And if you have, listen with new ears. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. And if we believe in him with every fiber of our being, then we do not perish, but we have everlasting life. You see, the gospel is about believing fully in him. And just even as Di prophesied, it's in my notes, here's verbatim. It's about removing the barriers in our lives that are blocking true and authentic relationship with the one that loves us and created us, with sin being that ultimate barrier, blockage. I like the way Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11 breaks it down. Ask, seek, knock. It shows progression. It shows persistence. It shows determination. And all of these are hallmarks of our walk with Christ. I got myself airborne during worship, and so my throat's a little gone. Asking gets you something. Seeking allows you to discover something. And knocking gives you access into something. Do you see the difference of those three words? Asking gets you, seeking allows you to discover, and knocking gives you access. You don't just find something here, rather you enter into something. I almost prefer the way the Gospel of Luke records it in chapter 11, verse 9 to 10. So I say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. Because everyone who keeps asking will receive, and the person that keeps searching will find, and the person who keeps knocking, the door will be opened. That's the dimension of knocking on your friend's door until he opens it. It is repeated. It's not just a light tapping. It's being, you're asking. It's a repeated thing that they're saying. Keep asking, keep searching. How many of you in this room will admit to watching The Big Bang Theory? I see hands all over this room. Okay, so if you have watched that, there is a character named Sheldon, and he's peculiar, and he goes over to his neighbor's house all the time. Penny, Penny, Penny. And that's the way he knocks on her door every single time. There is a persistence, there is a repeating nature to that. You see, it's persistence, it's insistent, and it's pressing in until the obstacle is out of the way. What is a door? It is an obstacle to an entrance. It blocks you from entering into another space. We knock until it's opened and we freely enter. Knocking is about identifying that, yes, there is an obstacle between where I presently am and where I want to be. That's what a door is. So we knock and it will be opened and you will get access. There's a prophecy about Jerusalem found in Isaiah 22 that reminds me somewhat of the days that we're currently living in. However, I think that could be said of every single generation since that prophecy was given. The prophecy in Isaiah 22 starts off with a question. And it says, what troubles you now? That you have all gone up onto your roofs. I'm going to change it up. What troubles you now? That you have all slid onto your back decks, you're hiding, you're seeking a way out of your situation. It goes on to say, your town is so full of commotion. Your lives are full of commotion and distraction. Your city is in tumult and revelry. But what I find interesting about this portion of scripture and what ties to asking, seeking, and knocking is at the end of this prophecy in verse 22, it says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. You see, there is a finished work that God wants to do in every single one of our lives. He is at work transforming us. And I think that's what the Master's Manifesto is all about. It's about the transformational work of Christ in our lives. The key of the house of David, the key of David that opens a door and it cannot shut in your face anymore. So God, through asking, seeking, and knocking, gives us keys. It opens something in our lives that cannot be shut anymore. There is a persistence that God is asking of us. It might be compared to a game of hide and seek. I hated that game as a child, because I was really good at it. And you hide, you find the perfect hiding place. And being small in stature, I could get into small little places. And I'd hide. And then it gets really, really boring. Everybody else is being found. You can hear the laughter. Oh, where is she? Where is she? And you can giggle in your space for a little while. But it's not much fun. I much preferred the game of ding-dong ditch. Where you rap jack, where you just run up to someone's house, ding the doorbell, and take off. It's annoying if it happens to you, but as a kid doing it, it's great fun. They come, who's there? Who's there? Would you, if you ring my doorbell one more time, and you're hiding behind the bush and you're laughing. Kids, I do not recommend that. It's not nice. It's not kind. But you see, we're not in a gamesmanship with God. He is not asking us to ask, seek, and knock in some sort of gamesmanship. He is asking us to ask, seek, and knock because he wants to deepen and strengthen our relationship. You see, Proverbs 13:23 says, much potential lies in the fallow ground of the poor, but injustice sweeps it away. In each single one of us is tremendous, tremendous potential. And there are hidden treasures in every single one of our lives that require us to till the ground of our hearts to see them revealed. You see, God is not a genie in a bottle or a clairvoyant. We can't treat him as such. Three wishes and rub the tummy and I'll give you what you want. That's not who our God is, right? He is not, Lord, tell me, give me the step-by-step guide what I'm to do. Because my Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if I have a step-by-step guide, how do I please him? How do I move in faith? We are to walk by faith and not by sight. He desires relationship with us. He extends an invitation to us. But it is up to us to step in, to not just be hearers, but to be doers. James 1, 22 to 25 also in many ways speaks to the persistence that God asks of us. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. When I go to the Lord, when I ask, seek, and when I knock, I'm like, God, reveal yourself to me. Reveal something in me. And I look in and I hear him speak truths to me that establish me in truth and set me on just a real steadfast path. But I don't want to be that person that just looks in the mirror. Oh, you're so beautiful, Catherine. Oh, so pretty. Walk away, you ugly, stupid girl. You know, how many times there's a persistence to what God is asking. James reminds us not to just look in and walk away, ring the doorbell, so to speak, and run away, but rather to continually press into God, because it's in that place that he is revealed. And it is in that place that he reveals. How many of you, like me as a child, loved to clean the car? Anyone? I signed up all the time. Who's going to clean the car? Me, because my mom and dad worked a deal. You clean the car, anything you find is yours. I'm telling you, in those days, that back bench seat, I'd stick my little hand way down in there and feel along the floorboards in between the seat cushions. And I would often walk away with $1.25. I'd walk into the house and my brother and sister, hey, Robert, hey, Susan, I got $1.25. I cleaned the car. You just got to get past the junk, right? And you get to find the treasures. How about the couch pillows? You ever do the vacuuming of the couch pillows when you lift them up? And I only do that like maybe on a 2-month basis. There's a lot of stuff under there. And it's sometimes stuff I find under the couch or under the couch pillows that I've actually spent a whole month blaming someone for taking. You see, when we get in and we begin to seek and we begin to search, all of a sudden things are revealed. And even stuff about, Catherine, you just blame them for a whole month that they stole that from you. They didn't. You had just lost it. And now you're seeking and now you are finding. For everything in your life that you have to search for, in the process of searching, you find things other than what you originally searched for. In the process of searching, in the process of seeking the Lord, you're going to find things about him and about you that weren't the original intent of what you're searching for. In the process of finding things that we ask God for, we get to find so many treasures as we ask, seek, and knock. We find out so many things about ourselves and about God. We get to know God. We get to know his heart. We may have learned how to worship privately. We may learn what it means to pray and to fast because of something we initially said we wanted. But the journey along the way is where revelation gets deposited into our hearts and our souls and spirits. There is power in asking. There is power in seeking. There is power in knocking. And it's Holy Spirit transforming power. Absolutely life-changing and life-giving power is unfolded in the midst of asking, seeking, and knocking. You see, Jesus tells us that if we ask God for something, he'll give it to us. That if we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be opened. What a simple yet profound teaching about God. And there are plenty of other scriptures like that. Astounding statements of the power of prayer, the power of communication, the power of every day in every way communicating with our God. How willing are we to persevere and press into the relationship? When trouble befalls us, who's our go-to? Do we go to God and say, oh God, help me, reveal yourself. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. Or do we call for a substitution? You see, in Luke 18, Jesus tells us the parable of a certain widow. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. To always pray. And not to lose heart. He said in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the righteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? You see, Jesus is arguing that even if this unjust judge gives the persistent widow what she asked for, how much more will our loving Father give his own children what they ask for, if they persevere in their asking. So it would seem that too often we give up. We don't persevere. And in that place of persevering, truth is revealed. I think of me as a parent. I'll pick on Isabel this time. Standing there. How many of you as parents have felt this? Mom, 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 and you're standing there, right? They're getting your attention, and they're pulling on your pant leg until they can get your attention. Or you take them to the store, and did you know marketing companies pay big bucks to place the sugary cereals at this eye level? Because they know your kid's going to pester you to buy them. Or the gum and the chocolate bars right at the checkout counter. Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? And finally, sometimes you're just like, just take it. Just buy it. You know? You give up. You see, in this scripture that we started with, we see a progression of those words. Ask, seek, knock. Think about it. If your child is in a room and they want or something, need something, they want to go out and play, they'll say, Mom, can I go out and play? And if you're not there, they'll go about finding you throughout the house. They'll seek you out. Mom, can I go out and play? Or if you've found that moment where you've locked your bedroom door. Mom, Mom, Mom. They'll stand at the door and knock until you open the door and say, get outside and play. Right? You see, there's a progression that implies effort. It pictures perseverance, even an urgency. As we pursue the Lord with our prayers, you see, I don't want to cut off the work that the Lord is doing in my life. Let's not lose heart. God wants to build something with us and even change something within us through all the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. Maybe the Lord doesn't want to just be Santa Claus who gets to hold us once a year. And even when we're sitting there on his lap, we begin to cry because he's big and he's scary. You see, too often we feel like approaching the Lord is like that. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. You see, God is not Santa Claus. He actually wants a relationship with us. and not just to give us stuff when we demand it. God does not ignore us or avoid us. I love the way the Old Testament scholar Alec Moitner once put it. He loves us to talk to him. He says, I want you to tell me. Please open your heart to me. Let me know how you feel. Let me know where you hurt. Let me know what you want. What do you want me to do for you? Let's have a conversation. Talk to me, people. There's a cry coming out from the heart of God. You see, author David Paulison once described prayer. Prayer is meant to be the conversation where your life and your God meet. He wants to know us. He wants to know what we're going through. And maybe prayers aren't so much about us trying to change or influence God, but rather him trying to change and have more influence over us. Tim Keller, who held, really pushed through saying that there's an intellectual belief in God that isn't the same as a heart-changed relationship with Jesus. He wrote, the basic purpose of prayer is not to bend God's will to mine, but to unfold my will to his. And Paul Miller, in his book, The Praying Life, God wants to do something bigger than simply answer my prayers. The act of praying draws God into my life and begins to change me, the prayer, in subtle ways. Praying in the manner that the Lord taught us, and when Jason spoke a couple weeks ago, we prayed together what we know as the Lord's Prayer. You see, it's a big deal, because when Jesus said that, the Jews weren't even familiar or comfortable with saying the name of the Lord out loud, and he says, come on, come into an intimate place with me, my Father who art in heaven. You see, sometimes we sit there and we're like, what's going on, God? Just keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Keep asking, seeking, knocking. There's a famous song by Garth Brooks. It's called Unanswered Prayers. And it says, just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into an old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend time praying that God would make her mine. And if he had only granted me this wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. How many of you have prayed anything like that? You see, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, and just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he doesn't care, because some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Personally, I'm very, very thankful that I married the silver fox that I married. And I'm not saying that I never prayed for anyone else before him, but we have three amazing daughters because God gave me the best for me. If I had married anyone that had come before Dean, chances are I wouldn't be standing here today. You see, when I was 16, 20, or 25, I thought I knew what I wanted. It wasn't that God didn't hear me and want to help. It wasn't that he wasn't good. It wasn't that he didn't care. It was that he was awesome. He is perfect. He's working his plan. He's seeking my good. You see, Jesus is saying, keep on asking and it'll be given to you. Keep on seeking. You're going to find some amazing things. Keep on knocking and it will be open to you. And that by the progression in these terms, asking is just one level of inquiry. Seeking suggests you step up as one goes about and begins to seek out what they have been asking for. And knocking takes you up another level to one that persists. I'm going to find it. I'm going to get through. I'm not going to allow this barrier to stand in my way anymore. I'm going to find myself revealed before my Lord, and he's going to reveal stuff about who he is and about who I am. You see, let's go to our Father with our needs, for he hears, he cares, and he loves. He loves. He delights in giving good gifts to his children. Let's stand together. Father, we stand and we acknowledge your greatness, that your plans for us are great and they are good. And you see the whole big picture, and you want to just abundantly pour out blessings upon us. But Father, more than anything, you call us into relationship. And so right now, Lord, would we humble our hearts before you in a way that magnifies your name in our lives? Those things that we have been asking for, those things that we have been seeking, those things that we are knocking and saying, come on, Lord, would you reveal yourself in new ways to us? Would you show us stuff about us? Lord, every barrier that stands between where we are now and where we want to go, Father God, would we be persistent in pressing in and pressing in and pressing in? Father, your name glorified over our lives. Your name lifted up as a banner over our lives. Lord, right now, for every heart that is hungry, for every heart that desires to know you more, Lord, begin to till away at the soil of their hearts. People, before I close, if you came into this room today and you're thinking, I don't know that I have a relationship with Jesus, and you heard the word spoken today and you're thinking there's a barrier between where I am now and where I want to be with Jesus, that you've never really said, come into my life. And if you want to say, today I know that I laid a stake, I planted a stake, and I want my life to be changed going forward. If you came into this place today with that desire in your heart, that passion for greater relationship, to be restored with the one who created you, I want you just simply, everyone's not looking around, just simply put up your hand and say, that's me. I know I need a newness, a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know there's sin in my life that's blocking me from where I am now to where I want to be. Just give me a little wave. Thank you. I believe that God brought you here this day for this purpose, to ignite something fresh and new within you. So right now, let's join together and pray for those who raised their hand and said, I want something. I want to enter into new relationship with the one that created me. I want that barrier of sin to be brought down. Father, right now, I come to you. I submit my life to you. And Lord, I say, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I know that there's things that I have allowed to continually pile up in my life that are breaking relationship with you. And so, Lord, right now I stand before you humbly, and I ask you to come into my life, that you would wipe away that which is my past. And that you would set me on a clear path, a new path. And I declare your lordship over my life. I say that I need a Savior to pull me out and onto a new path. And for this, Lord, I give you my life. I ask you to come in, to forgive me of my sins, and to make me whole. People, this is a great day. This is a great day. We serve a great God, and he delights in you, his children. At this time, I will dismiss you. I have great news for you. You do not need to stack chairs. To those of you who are online, I want to thank you for joining us today. God bless you. If you need anything, be in touch with the church office. But get your kids. Don't forget them. Go seek them.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.